Well, I'm going to continue today where Steve and I left off last week. So if you were not here last week, you'll want to jump online when, I'm not sure when it's going to be up or if it's up, but we had a conversation, Steve and I did, first and second service, and they were pretty different. And so if you were here in one service and not in the other, I'd even encourage you to jump online and check those out as well. Just really, we had three goals that we felt like the Lord had put on our heart. And one was, what does it look like in our life to have the Word made flesh? What does it look like to not just conquer a territory or, you know, like your workplace or whatever, but what does it look like to really culturalize it for the kingdom of God? And then the third thing was the word he had gotten a couple weeks ago, a vision about Sundays. We were not coming to church anymore, but we were coming to celebrate everything that had happened throughout the week. And so those are the three goals we had. So I'm going to kind of go into a little more detail in those. So we're going to start in James 1 and starting in verse 21. You guys ready? Okay. So remember this. If we really want to change the world, or even maybe if you have a really crappy work environment or home environment, it starts with you. So if we want to change the world, we have to ask the Lord, what is in me that you want to change and conform to your image more than it already is? Transformation is key, because we're not to come and make church attenders anymore, but we're to focus on making disciples and disciples of Jesus. And so let's dig in here. James 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. That word implanted means to bring into living union, or placed in and established with something into development. So when you look at that verse, and it says to receive with meekness the implanted word, like the word that goes inside of you that brings into living union with the creator of the world. Think about that. Like, that's exciting. And it'll definitely change your soul when you get a hold of that. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So in a church that focuses on his grace, the words obedience, work, and do are not very acceptable words. But even though we are Grace Church, we believe in his empowering grace to be obedient, to do the things that he's asked us to do, right? And so as we look at this, it's what do we do? What is he asking us to walk out? So I'm going to share a testimony from Donna Duncan. And she was in first service, but you also saw her signing back here. So the lady that does our sign language during worship, this is a testimony from her. And I have had the pleasure of walking with her in a discipling relationship now for 8 months. And I can tell you that I have seen a process of transformation in her life. And so I want to talk about that. Process of transformation in James 1, I think it describes it pretty well. So it goes from a picture to a mirror to a window. And so I have seen, have you guys ever read a scripture and you're like, okay, how many of you have read the Bible in a year? How many of you just read the Bible, like from the start to beginning, right? So from the start to the beginning? We go from the start and then we go back at the end to the beginning and we start again. It was really deep. It was actually a mistake, but from the start to the end. But as a teacher and a boy mom, you can put on that mojo, right? No. So if you've read the Bible, how many of you have read it, but there's things you're like, what the heck does that mean? Or, wow, I just read that and like nothing significant happened in my mind or my, yeah, right, Maribel? Right? Like it's like, wow, that was in there for, okay? So that's what I would call a picture on a page. It's just something you're reading. It's not impacting your life. But as you continue to stare at that picture longer and ask the Holy Spirit to intervene, it becomes a mirror where you start seeing the revelation of the Lord that he wants you to see, whether it's his acceptance or his righteousness or his glory or whatever. And then as that transformation begins to take place inside of you, it becomes a window. And it becomes something that you look through everything at. Like, I would look at Treva and I'm going to look through that window because this is the revelation. It's gone from a picture to a mirror to a window in my soul that I look through. And so for me, it was protector. When I realized that I didn't have to fight anymore, like the Lord, that revelation, he took me through that revelation. I allowed him to. And I was able to start seeing, and so now I can go into situations and I can put my defenses down because I don't have to take up for myself. The Lord does. And it's becoming a window, or it's became a window that I see everything through. Like when I see other people trying to fight for something and not letting the Lord fight, I recognize it. Why? Because I was there. It was, one time it was a picture on a page. I've read those scriptures. The Lord will fight for you. Exodus 14:14. I read them however many times that I've went through the Bible. I hear people quote them. I see them on pictures, right? But it was just a picture on a page to me until transformation started happening within me. And it became a mirror where I saw that the Lord really was the fighter. And I then started seeing as a window, and I started seeing it in everything around me. And that's what transformed, like people that are close to me could see the transformation happening. So I want to read for you some of Donna Duncan's testimony. Because for about 7.5 months, I have seen Donna see things as a picture on a page. And that looks like quoting scripture, amening the truth. The Lord told me this. Like, it's right there in front of us. It's like the platter, but it goes no further. Her picture on a page was Psalm 139, that she was fearfully and wonderfully made. I think it's tattooed on her body, probably. I know other things are. But like it was so ingrained in her as a picture on a page, but it wasn't a mirror. She had not received it in and been transformed by it. It was something she quoted. So this is what she says. I've been a Christian for many years and I believe Jesus died for me and he loves me. And I even had some victories, but I still didn't fully trust God and certainly not people. I walked around in fear and hiding behind anger, who I believed was my best friend and protector. I've been struggling almost all my life on why was I born and wishing I was never born, and most of my life needing to run away because I don't belong and I don't fit in. For years, but especially the last few, I desperately wanted to leave, as in move away, and I didn't know why. Now, this is Donna Duncan, who is up here signing during worship. Does this sound like her? Does this sound like what you see of her? No. She very much looks like she fits in. She goes on to say, but last Sunday night, God revealed to me on why I was stuck in that lie. When I saw my sister in Christ completely fall apart, confess what happened, and was helped back up and encouraged by her spiritual family, and is now walking in freedom. God told me that I can trust him and I can trust the spiritual family, and I'm not going to be judged or kicked out. Her whole life, she's been kicked out of everything except the military and her marriage. She tries to get Robert to kick her out all the time. I mean, this is like a dialogue they have. She tries all the time to get Robert to kick her out. I mean, she even said it in first service, even throwing things at him and everything else in her anger. Remember, anger was her best friend. And Robert will reply, "There's not a stick big enough to have me kick you out." I realized I wanted to do the running before anyone kicked me out. Then a word was given to me by another sister stating that I needed to give God control of my time and let him speak to me in his word, meaning scriptures. But I didn't know where to start. Then God tells me, "You know all those bulletins with notes you've taken since the beginning of the year and have kept in your Bible? Start with that first Sunday in January." So Monday I arrived at school. She's in American Sign Language school. Monday I arrived at school 30 minutes before class and started digging into scripture. It was the study of origins. Genesis chapter 1 didn't really speak to me. It was a picture on a page. But when I got to Genesis 3:11, "Who told you?" God told me to stop there. "Who told you you should have never been born? Who told you I would kick you out?" Right then and there, I knew I'm not getting kicked out, and I've been walking in freedom ever since. Right? So in January, she sat through the origin series on the front row taking notes. Why? Because she had the notes. It was a picture on a page to her. But Monday, she started staring at it longer and longer, and it became a mirror and the reflection of who God is. And then now it's turned into a window. She looks through it with everybody and everything. She has these click chicks, is what she calls them at school. She goes to school with all the people that are a whole lot younger than her. And so all these young girls. And she said, and she always feels like she didn't belong, right? Well, not anymore. So she plopped down Monday with them, started having a lunch with them, and they started talking to her and saying this and that. And she said, "Who told you that about yourself?" Like, she's got everybody at school thinking that. Her husband, I have permission to share this, but he got called in by his supervisors, even though it's not public yet, but he got called in by his supervisors and given a promotion. He's sitting there saying to himself, "I can't do this. I haven't even been here a year. I'm not even qualified." And all of a sudden, Donna's window starts becoming a mirror in his life, and he hears, "Who told you that?" Like, that's transformation. When you become the word, the scripture, his living active word, whether it's scripture or a prophetic word by the Spirit, when it becomes flesh in your life and you start walking it out, you start becoming a doer of the word, and it will become a mirror into your soul and then a window for you and others to see. Isn't that awesome? That's lordship. That's Shema. That's hearing the voice of the Lord and obeying. And so if you're around me very often, you've heard me say this, and I've probably asked you, but two good questions to ask yourself. What's the Lord telling you? And what are you going to do about it? So when she starts seeing "Who told you?", she asks herself, "What are you really telling me about my own heart? And then how am I going to walk this out? What are you telling me to do about it?" Because if we just hear, but we're not a doer, if we don't walk out that obedience, if we don't carry it out, transformation does not take place in our life. And guys, we are done being, I am done. You guys can sit here and be church attenders all you want, but I am not. I'm going on. Right? Like, there's a point where enough is enough. And I think we're there. And so, what do you do, like, if, you know, the second goal that Steve and I wanted to really talk about is not going in and conquering something, but actually culturalizing it. Like, what do you do when the word becomes flesh in your life and it becomes a window? Everywhere you go, you're encouraging people in it. You're walking out what Isaiah talked about and then Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah in Luke 4. You start being the word made flesh to others. You start walking in the confidence and the authority of who you are and who you were created to be. Not to go and do, but to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up the captives, right? Like, that's who we're called to do and what we're called to be. And so, did you guys ever hear Jesus just sit around and complain about society? It wasn't written there, right? No, he spoke truth to it. And then he was a change agent. He didn't sit around and say, man, these schools, they're just not like they used to when I was in them. Right? Right? Instead, he spoke truth to situations. And then he was a change agent. We're to lead like Jesus led. But I'm telling you guys, if we don't let the agape love of the Lord in us and to love others, it's not going to happen. Because you won't pray with his heart for our schools. And you won't pray for his heart with our government if you are not loving them. Your prayers will be manipulative. I'm speaking from experience, okay? Your prayers will be manipulative. All of your mindsets will be like how bad it is and if they just get their act together. So Lord, help them figure it out. No. I said it last week when Steve and I were in conversations. Those of you that think our country, our government, our schools are going to pot, do something about it. Call them and say, I just want you to know I am praying for you today. Period. Not an ulterior motive, but when we agape love them unconditionally, without expectations, then we can influence. But not until then. For one, they're not going to let us in. And for two, the Lord may not allow it. If we're going to go in and make a fool of his name by ranting and raving. I got a teacher over here amening. I was there. I taught school for 7 years. So I've experienced it on both ends. But we can't affect change if we're not present. Like if we're not involved in the lives of the people that he's asked us to be involved in. Whatever sphere that looks like. We pray for there to be change. And then we pray and say, Father, use me to be the change agent. Use me not just to go in and conquer so people know Jesus, but let me be a change agent where I can go in and culturalize everything, where I can change the culture. Like we're cultural architects. We are given by the Lord to build cultures of his kingdom here on earth. The Lord's Prayer, perfect example. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like we have been given that authority and that assignment to take the culture from the kingdom of God and have it manifest here on earth. We can't just conquer. We have to culturalize. And we have to culturalize until the area has been culturized to look like the kingdom of God. So if our schools and our city government does not look like the kingdom of God, whose problem is it? It's ours. Because he said, I'm going to look it up, just so you guys can see it's in here, right? Because sometimes it's like, oh, that's a good statement. Or that's a statement I don't like, so I don't agree with. So Matthew 5, you ever been there, Annie? Matthew 5:14 says, Jesus, this is Jesus talking, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. He said you're the light of the world, not the light of the church. So if the world in your eyes is getting darker and darker, whose problem is it? It's ours. Because we're to bring light to it. We are to bring light to it. Darkness is the condition that the church rises in. How can we be a light if it's not dark? And I don't know about you guys. We just built a house. We're kind of almost done. Not really, but we are moved in. But when I walk through the house, I don't know the house yet. I don't really know where the walls are. I mean, I designed the house and I made sure that the framers did it right. But like I've ran into a few when it's dark. Anybody been there? Okay. But I can guarantee you when I flip that light switch, that light comes on and I don't stare at the light, but I use it to see. And so if our world is dark and we're the light of the world and we come into the world, it's so people can see his glory and his manifest presence and his kingdom here on earth, not because they're going to look at us. We don't turn on a light and look at a light. We turn on the light to see who he has us to see, who he has to see his glory and his presence. So if we're to lead change, if we're to be change agents, then let me ask you guys this. We've been in this building since 2012. Some of you were here with the move from Nakoma Park to Choctaw. So Grace Church has been in Choctaw, and I know not everybody lives in Choctaw, but this is our turf as Grace Church, okay? This is where it starts. But is Choctaw better off? The crime, the poverty, healings, all of those things, because Grace Church moved here in 2012? Are we producing church attenders here, or are we reproducing disciples? I can tell you I've seen more Quick Med, Healthcare Express, whatever the heck they're called, places open up in Choctaw since we've been here than not. So if we're the light of the world, we're the ones that are bringing, we are healing the sick, we are binding up the brokenhearted and all of that. Like, when his glory comes and they get into an intimate relationship with Jesus, when they really know him as not just Savior, because I'm not going to hell, but they actually know him as Lord, like things begin to change in their lives. Healings, depression's gone. All of those things are completely gone and eradicated. So what if we got healed and freed enough ourselves to be able to help our city? I'm reminded of, you know, crowds really don't change things. People do. I'm reminded of Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, the brothers that built the plane. Anybody ever flown in a plane? The Wright brothers? I was going to call them the Wrigley, and I thought, that's a baseball field. Right? Yeah. So, but think about it. They changed the world. But it wasn't crowds. It was a person that went and did it. And that's what, it starts with us, guys. So Steve asked me this question. As a strategic and a practical thinker, how is this going to happen? And I just looked at him like, you really want me to answer this? And he said, you know, like, are you going to spit it out? And I said, making disciples. It's the key to culturalizing. It's very, very slow, but it's right. And God gave us a vision a long time ago to advance God's kingdom one heart at a time. Not one group of people at a time, but one heart at a time. So I've been walking in a relationship with Donna for 8 months. That might be relatively slow to you guys, and it might not be to others. It's all objective. But think about it. If we are to, like, now she is going in and she is making a difference in her workplace. And now she's got a husband who's starting to believe the same and starting to look through a window now of who told you. Like, Sarah Raymer came up to me after first service and said, everything you talked about, I kept imagining the ripple effect. Jesus drops the pebble in the water and the ripples just continue. And that's what it is. But it starts with us, and then it starts with one heart at a time. And if we will pledge to intentionally invest in somebody, to make them a disciple of Jesus by them learning what it looks like to abide on their own, not to be sourced from us. Like, things start changing in the life of you and the life of the person. Because you would be crazy to think my life hasn't changed drastically in the 8 months that I've walked with Donna and some others. But it starts with us. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a culturalizing prayer. It's a prayer that shows how you take one dimension and you bring it down to earth. You pull it down to have this dimension look like the kingdom of God. When the disciples said, Jesus, how do we pray? He gives a culturalizing apostolic prayer. Is exactly what it is. And we have an apostolic call as a church. Like, there's an apostolic call on this house. That doesn't mean that we all have a gifting. Like, our highest, strongest gifting is that, where there's shepherds and teachers and evangelists and prophets as well. But I'm talking about the call on this house. The Lord has told us for 2 decades that we're supposed to change our environments, and we're supposed to change our city, and we're supposed to culturalize things. Like, that is what an apostolic call is. So I don't know if you guys know, but an apostle was not invented with Jesus. So apostles came about 300-ish years before he ever walked on the earth. And the Greeks came up with it. It is an original Greek word. And they would have admirals and this fleet of ships. And they would go take these fleet of ships and they would go to this territory. And they would set up a colony, colonization. And they would bring in teachers and construction workers and people that would build buildings or whatever they had back then. I guess they were buildings. And roads and all this other stuff. And they would actually make it their world. They would teach the natives how to speak their language. All of these types of things. And so the Romans caught wind of it. You guys know the saying, when in Rome, be like the... Do as the Romans do. Be like the Romans, right? Like, the Romans wanted to capitalize everything. They wanted to take over, they wanted to make sure you were using their money, their language, their mindset, their philosophies, and everything. And so the Romans took their best generals and they called them apostles. Because what happened was they would go in and they would conquer nations and they would come back to it. And the nations would look exactly the way it used to be. And they're like, what? We just conquered this. For what? They're back to their old ways. And they started realizing that we needed to culturalize it. And so what happened then is these generals would go in with the army. And not just the army, but they would send teachers, philosophers, architects, musicians, artists, and they would send them in with the army. So they would conquer the nation, and then they would culturalize it. They would show the people, this is how you're to live. This is how you're to talk. This is what you're to be. And so Jesus has his disciples together, and he calls the 12 that he's walking closest with to himself. It's in Luke 6. And he says, you guys are my apostles. You're sent out by me to change the culture to look like the kingdom of God. Like, that's an apostolic call. That is what we have been told by the Lord for years to do. We just didn't, we had different words. Advancing God's kingdom one heart at a time through making disciples to culturalize the area. Think about that. Like, how cool is that? So what if the most wise, prominent, powerful, innovative people were flowing out of Grace Church and weren't just preaching Jesus, but they were turning institutions upside down for the betterment of the king and the kingdom? What if that was really happening? So I'm going to share this testimony. I don't know if she's here. She gave a call Monday and asked to speak with me, and I was gone, and so Jody took the call and sent me this. She says, I just wanted Gretchen and Steve to know that the things that God has laid on their heart for our community because of last week's conversations, and those that we walk day to day with life in, the things they were discussing on Sunday morning, even down to the scriptures they were reading and referencing, all of it was just confirmation after confirmation, because God has already been speaking those things to me as well. We have recently moved to Choctaw and started attending Grace. But even before coming here, God had started speaking to me about the fact that I'm kind, but I have trouble loving others. That he wanted me to be others-minded instead of me-focused. He started speaking to me about the atmosphere of my place of employment and the culture and how he wanted to use me to help change the culture in my office. So God encouraged me to step out and ask those I work with if there's anything that I could pray for them about. And I learned more in that one afternoon about the people I was working with than I had in the 3 years that I've been there. We all have stuff we are walking through. I spent a long time in my car after that, crying and praying for all of them when I got off work. That is a woman that knows her call to change the culture. That knows that she isn't just there to be kind, but like she is there to be active in the lives of the people that are around her. To change the atmosphere for the kingdom of God. So what does it look like if we start doing this over and over and over? We start letting the word be made flesh within us. We start walking out the mindset that I am here to be a change agent, to lead change, to change the culture and not just complain and wish something was better or be flippant and not engaged. But what if we really knew that this was our thing? Then on Sunday mornings, it's going to look a whole lot different. Because right now, evangelizing the church seems to be a priority. Because of the lack of transformation within the church attenders. So how can we be the light to the world if we're not allowing him to change us? And I was shocked how many people thought my cussing testimony was impactful to them. For one, I'm like, really? They didn't know that I'm completely human and I have a whole list of insane faults? But if you didn't hear it, you'll have to catch it online. But like, it's important for you guys to know that I'm being transformed and I'm being conformed and I'm not going to stop. It's important for Donna, for you to know Donna, like sweet, spunky Donna up here that loves to worship the Lord. Lived for 50 years wondering why she was born. Like, think about that. If, what if we were healed and free enough to be able to impact this region and everywhere you work for the kingdom of God? Sundays would look a whole lot different because we would come in celebrating. Steve's vision 2 weeks ago. Steve saw us not coming to church anymore, but gathering together weekly to share what it's like to be the church all week long. He saw us coming in, and there was such a buzz because we had been out all week, and the Lord had already met us there, and we had stories to tell. Like, that's what it's about. It's not a bragging. Am I proud of Donna? Oh my gosh, yes. But I'm telling you, we sowed those things into her all the time, month after month. But what happened was she decided to change her mind about it. And she decided to not let it just be a picture on a page anymore, but for it to be a mirror where she could see the glory of the Lord in why she was created. And I will tell you this, she is spending more time with Jesus one-on-one than she ever has. And she is abiding with him all day long. I don't know how many of you guys remember the story last week about the young lady that poured all the alcohol down her sink, and she was very ready to change everybody else. And I looked at her and said, it always starts with us. So what's he speaking to you? And the next day she sat with him, and the Lord started speaking all of these things. It's been 3 weeks and she's still walking in complete and total freedom. Complete and total freedom. The culture in her home is changing because it started with her. So if we come together on Sunday mornings and it truly becomes a place for us to come together and celebrate each other and to connect with new people, just like that testimony I read, she's new to this area, she's new to Grace. Like, connect with new people should be our Sunday morning. Not to come and get free from the crap that we're not letting him deal with, but to celebrate each other and to make kingdom connections for his glory and his transformation to be manifest in people. I want to read for you guys one more. I love this testimony. So Christy Gomez's discovery group, last at the beginning of the school year in August, went to Amy's school. Amy Hopkins was a teacher in her discovery group. And they went on a prayer walk at Country Estates Elementary. And we've done prayer walks within our school and here. But this was different. I love this. Christy writes, Amy Hopkins, who is one of my previous discovery groups, is a teacher at Country Estates. She had asked our group to participate in a prayer walk before school began in August for the 2019-20 school year. Several from our group came and participated. We wrote notes to the teachers and administration and the support staff. Now, I can guarantee you that the people that went on this prayer walk didn't agree with everything that's happening in our school systems. And the reason why I know that is Christy's been a homeschool mom her whole life. She's chosen to educate her own children. But instead of bashing the things. It was notes to the teachers, the students, and the administrators, encouraging them, letting them know they're not alone, letting them know they have a support system. We were able to bless them with notes and then pray over the rooms. We had the pleasure to pray over the principal, some of the teachers, and of course, Amy. Like, that is what it's about. And those are the things that we feel like as the Lord continues to unfold this call that we have in being a change agent, in leading change, in being cultural architects, and having an apostolic call on this house where we're not just going out and being kind to people, but like we're changing cultures. He's going to unfold what that looks like, and his kingdom is going to be more evident here in this area than ever before. So we're talking through what this looks like on Sunday morning, but you guys need to know we need to hear from you. Like, I've read 3 testimonies this morning, and I have some more, but we need to hear from you. And when I say that, like, you can come up and tell me, and I'll be overjoyed. You can come up and tell Gavin or Rick or Steve or Jeremy or whatever, and we're going to be elated. But the chance of us getting many of your details correct are pretty slim. Right? You guys know the game of telephone or gossip, whatever it's called. Like, by the time you tell us, we tell the next person, and then whoever shares it, it's like, what in the world? So we have a link on our website, and I would love, love, love you to fill it out. It doesn't have to be long and detailed. It doesn't even have to be magnificent. It can be like, I have never sat with the Lord to hear his voice, and I did it, and I heard him. Like, that's awesome. It doesn't have to be something that you've, like, every testimony is so great. Kenny Graves reminded me in first service, like, we overcome things by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. So go online, gracechurch.community, and underneath the contact us, there's a drop-down menu, and you can give like a prayer request, a testimony, something else, I think. But we want to know what he's doing in your life, you personally, and what he's doing through you. So I want to read a word Annie got in October of 2018 as I close here. Jeremy, you guys can come on out. She said, I saw the Eastern Oklahoma County Church, a rotten, dead, beat-up body, sitting in an old, broken recliner with springs pressing into the body and hurting it and putting the body out of alignment. The body had been affected by betrayal, offense, and bitterness. I spoke to her and said, raise up. Parts of her skin literally fell off as she stood out of the chair. Some parts of her didn't want to rise. She started walking, looking somewhat zombie-like, and she was pressed into the image of Christ on the cross. Some of the body was content to remain there, believing they needed to be crucified, not believing they deserved more. I spoke to her again and said, rise up. She was buried with Christ and arose. I told her, be filled with the fire of the Spirit, and she started replicating faster than I could count, all bearing the same image. That's a picture of us. Like, when we wake up and we realize who we are, we realize, like, what God has for us. He's going to awake us, those of us that have become fat from consumption. You can come on a Sunday morning and you can consume and consume and consume. And a question Paul Whitlock asked me last week after I said the study about 1% of all church attenders, the study that was done, abide. He said, what percentage of people abide in social media? in the news, in drama, instead of abiding in him. So he's awakening those that have become fat from consumption to a deep desire to give away all that he's already empowered them with. Like he has already given you all the things. I'm going to read this over you. You guys can go ahead and stand. Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Like, this has already been fulfilled in you. No matter what your environment looks like, just like the young lady that gave up her alcoholism, instead of focusing on the fact that everybody around her was drinking and doing drugs, she decided, like, it starts with me. And I am here to proclaim liberty to those that are captive from the same captivity that I've had and that my father had and my grandfather had and my mother had. Like, that's my heart, because that is the heart of Jesus. And she walked out her obedience in that. So I'm asking you the same. Like, what is Jesus speaking to you, and what are you going to do about it? I've got things he's speaking to me about, and I'm listening to what he says, so I know how am I going to walk this out to bring glory to his kingdom, not to get credit, not to make a name for Grace Church even, for the kingdom of God. And so, Father, I receive this word. We receive this word as a body. Father, we repent when we have become apathetic, when we have been fat from consumption. We repent when we have chosen to leave our life the way it is, instead of hungering and thirsting after you and your transformation that you have for us in our life. We receive this word. We receive it. And Father, as you start revealing more and more to us, we say yes by walking out our obedience. We make a commitment to listen to you. Darkness is the condition that we will rise in, not the condition that the world will stay in when we rise. Just like that vision, when that body rose off of that recliner. Father, we purpose to rise, even in the darkness. We will not allow the world to stay as it is, and we will quit complaining about the state of it, and we will be the light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you guys. I love you too. All right. If you would like prayer, we will pray for you. I feel like we're not done.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.